once every year or two, I get laryngitis. And this is one of those once. Just really good timing, because we really have 4 minutes until we're supposed to be done. So we want to look at this concept of praying without ceasing. I apologize to my mother, who's watching, that I do have something in my mouth. She hates that when a speaker's chewing gum. This past week, I was in AutoZone. The cashier pulled off a piece of paper, crumbled it up, threw it at the trash can. And I said, "Did you make it?" She said, "No, I missed, like everything else in life." And it got me thinking, how many of us feel like we're missing? We just miss everything in life. And it's kind of like that with prayer. How often have you prayed for something and you feel like it's missed? You just missed. And what's aggravating to me is when a preacher gets up and tells this marvelous story about an answered prayer. And I think, why didn't that happen to me? It's not, maybe that's encouraging to you to hear something like that, but I look at it and say, well, I wish my prayers were answered like that. And then we get to this passage of praying without ceasing, and we think, why? God's will is going to be done anyway, so why even pray? And maybe you feel like it's a little downer that the preacher is saying, prayer is hard sometimes. You don't get the answers that you thought you would get. And it reminds me of this passage that Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, they should pray, always pray, and not give up. Because for me, sometimes I don't want to pray and I do want to give up. If you look at Luke 18, this is a parable that Jesus told, and he says, I'm going to tell you a parable. The point is this, that you are to always pray and not give up. And he said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared for men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." I think the Lord must have been smiling a little bit at that. And he said, listen to what the unjust judge says. "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on this earth?" The point of the parable, shown in some different scriptures, translation, keep on praying until the answer comes. Never lose heart. Always pray. Don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. And a strong point is being made that even though prayers don't seem to be answered, Jesus is saying, don't quit. Be courageous. Don't give up. Don't be afraid. Don't fall into despair. Don't be weary. All the things that we struggle with. And let me briefly tell you that this parable is called a parable of contrast, not comparison. You have an unrighteous judge. And the temptation is look at that and compare Jesus to the unrighteous judge. God to the unrighteous judge. But it's a contrast. He's saying, look at how an unjust judge will act if he's bothered. What do you think your just God is going to do when you talk to him? What kind of judge is God? You have to go through all the scriptures to see that he's a perfect and has good, great character. He cares for his children, kind, gracious. I believe Lauren said this in his prayer. He knows our needs better than we know them. So he wants to grant us what we need, not what we think we need. He has supplied us with an advocate who perfectly pleads our case, and he's our Father. And so the point is, we have every reason to continue in prayer. We have every reason to never give up. What's important, I think, is the subject of this parable. Because the Bible tells us to pray for lots of things. Pray for our needs and pray for the sick and pray for open doors and protection. Pray for help. Pray in thankfulness. Lots of different ways that we're to pray. But this particular parable has a specific prayer that we're to pray. And that is for justice. Four times, grant me justice. I will see she gets justice. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen one? Will they not see that they get justice? And in the context, back in chapter 17, it's either the second coming of Jesus or AD 72, I'm not sure which, when the destruction of Jerusalem took place, but whatever, either way, it's justice. And so he says, you are to be a people of prayer that do not give up praying for justice, persistently praying for justice. And we find that an uncomfortable prayer, because when you think of justice, when I think of justice, we think of revenge or vengeance or punishment. And so we don't want to pray to God when we think we're to be praying that people are punished. And especially if we're honest with ourselves, we realize we deserve punishment. We deserve condemnation, and people we love deserve it too. And so how can we pray for justice? But justice is the righting of all wrongs. And you know this is true. Most of you watch TV. You've been brought the story of the little girl who was killed, found in a landfill. She wasn't the only one this past week. She's just the one the media showed us. And we look at that sin and we say justice has to take place. That's not wrong. It's horrid. It's evil. But we know that our legal system cannot provide ultimate justice. The two people that have arrested, we don't know if they're guilty or not. They haven't gone to trial. But if they're guilty, no matter what the punishment is, we still say that's not justice. That's the mom and dad of that child. Saw a sign. What's the guy's name? The lawyer. Call me Alabama. $4.5 million settlements on one of the signs. If you read the little part there, you think, oh man, I would love that. But it's a traumatic brain injury. Would you trade your brain for $4.5 million? It's justice, but it's not perfect justice. And the only way we can have justice in this world is if God rights all wrongs. And that's perfect justice. That's why we should always pray to God for the ultimate righting of every wrong. This is not a prayer for revenge. It's a prayer of mercy. When we pray As Christians, for justice, we're praying for mercy. Do you want your wrongs righted? All the secret sins, all the little things you've done, all the sins in your life, do you want them righted, made right? We do, but you can't pay for those. If that's dependent on your personal righteousness, we can only find punishment for ourselves and others. Our only hope is found in Romans chapter 3, where he says God presented him as a sacrifice for atonement, talking about Jesus, through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he left sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did this to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies for those who have faith in Jesus. Our prayer for justice is a prayer of faith, that people will put their faith in Jesus, and a prayer for ourselves, that our faith in Jesus will right our wrongs. The parable ends, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on this earth? I think in the context he's saying, will he find those in persistent prayer for the justice of God to be displayed in our lives through faith in Jesus? That's faith, praying for justice. Will he find us praying for others to come to such a faith, or are we going to give up? We know that there'll be ultimate justice, and we know that those who turn to Christ in faith will hear the words, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Abraham asked. The judge will do what is right. The answer is yes. One way or the other, every person will stand before the judge of all the earth. And you'll stand before him in your own righteousness, or in their clothes in the righteousness of Christ. And so we pray for justice that will be done. We pray that justice will be done in the sense that people will turn in faith to Christ. And so we're called to pray without ceasing. And that describes just our lifestyle. As Barian pointed out in the text that he read, it's a consistent lifestyle, the way we live our lives. This particular word, without ceasing, was translated in the ancient Greek to describe a continual and not uninterrupted cough, continual croak in the throat. The Spirit of God should be a persistent tickle in our throats. It should continually be on our hearts and minds, continually bringing before God our request of all kinds. There should be a continual reflex reaction of God's Spirit calling us to pray for the justice of God to be displayed in people's lives through Jesus Christ. As we move forward, let us persistently let the Spirit of God tickle our spiritual throats, be continually praying in all sorts of prayers, but pray for the justice of God to be shown in this world. If we can help anyone, I'm going to ask the elders to come forward and receive you as we stand and sing this song.